I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn with us, if you would, over to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. While we turn there, I want to say I've been enjoying the good preaching. Did you know we got two Calvin Fosters here tonight? Did you know there's two Calvin Fosters? Right there's one. Stand up. That's another Calvin Foster. Glad to have him and his family. Luke 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. And the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost and is found. I'd like to talk to you a little while tonight about this prodigal son. This is a story of how an individual is lost from God, whether he's never been saved or whether he has been saved and is backslid. The Bible teaches us that we are like lost sheep. like the lost boy. We're away from God. We've rebelled against God. We've run away from God. But God still loves you, sinner. God still loves the backslider. No matter where you are tonight, no matter what you're involved in, God still cares. God still loves you. This Bible teaches us, and this passage teaches us, that an individual can be saved and backslide. It not only teaches us that you can backslide, but it also teaches the possibility of being saved again. Because in verse number 24, he said, "For this my son was dead, and he's alive again." Verse 32 said, "For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." Now when Amanda was born, my oldest daughter, she's here tonight, it was a happy time. We had a midwife. We had her at home. And I began to call the family. And I didn't say, "Amanda's alive again." She never had been alive before. This boy had been alive before. But he died. Eternal security people say, once you're saved, you can't die. But he died. Eternal security people say that if you go back out and sin, you commit adultery or murder, whatever, you're still saved. But when he backslid, he was lost. When you backslide, you're not saved no more. When you backslide, you're lost. When you backslide, you're on your way to a devil's hell. But God still loves you. He's willing to save you if you'll repent. Now the Bible says, this young boy said, "Give me the portion of goods that followed me." And he divided to them his living. One day, he says to his father, something like this, "Dad, I'm kind of tired of living here out in the country. All this discipline, all this work, milking the cows. I'm 18 now. I'd like to have my inheritance. I don't like living in the country. I want to go to town. I want to go to the big city. Because when I get there, I want to make it big. I just can't wait to get away from home." How many young people feel that way? "I got to go to church. As long as I live here, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go somewhere where I'm not under your rule and I don't have to go to church. And so I'm gonna go away to the university. I'm going to the big city. I'm gonna get out on my own so I don't have to go to church no more." So he rebelled against his father. Rebellion became a way of life for this young man. He just wanted to go out and have a good time. And how many times young people feel that way? "I want to go find out what life is all about. Maybe he thought I'll eventually get a job and I'll get a good job. But right now, he just wants to goof off. He'd want to go to school. He'd want to get up and milk the cows no more. He'd want to go have a good time. You know what he wanted to do? It sounded good. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mama's been telling me what to do. Daddy's been telling me what to do. The preacher's been telling me what. It's time I'll do what I want to do. I'm going to have me a ball." Oh, the picture the devil puts before our young people, telling them what they can enjoy out in sin, But you see, this boy was already wandering away from home while he was still at home. In his mind, he was dreaming about it. In his mind, he was thinking about it. Friend, people do not wander away all of a sudden, but just like lost sheep, they wander away gradually. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every individual that comes into this world, they go astray. Amen. I went astray. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter and verse number 14, that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So he was already a backslider in heart while he was still at home, because I believe he was thinking about these things maybe for months and days, possibly weeks before he ever left, until he finally got up the nerve to confront his dad and say, give me the money. Give me the inheritance. Not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey to a far country. I want to tell you something tonight. The far country is not measured by distance. Anytime a man gets away from God, he's in a far country. A world without God is a far country. The far country has many roads leading there. The far country is a land of poverty. The far country is a land of deception. The far country is a costly place to live. It cost him his fellowship with his father. It cost him his fellowship with his heavenly father. He collected his inheritance. He went to a distant country away from his home. And verse 13 says, and there waste his substance with riotous living. You see, this fellow went out to town, and when he got there, he had his pockets full of money. And friend, anytime you got money, you got a crowd around you. There's a new boy in town. He's got his pockets full. Amen. Friend, you make friends real quick when you got your pockets full of money. Everybody's after your money. But when your money's gone, your friends are gone. Some friends are freeloaders. His friends were freeloaders. He had a lot of them around him. This fella had a lot of money. He had a lot of friends around him. And the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. We can't take that away from the sinner. You tell the sinner that's living in the pleasure of sin, there's no pleasure in sin, he'll laugh at you. Because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But that's not the end. Listen to me. The pleasures of sin never have a pleasant ending. Not one time. Of all the people that's got involved in the pleasures of sin, it never has a pleasant ending. And it's not going to have a pleasant ending for you. You mark that down tonight. The pleasures of sin never has a pleasant ending. The only time that you are going to be able to enjoy sin is while you're planting the seeds. But there's bound to be a harvest, because we reap what we sow. He probably learned a little bit about dope. He probably took a few trips. At first, it's a lot of fun, a lot of kicks, But it wasn't long till he got hooked on it. He probably started taking a few sips of that alcohol. Got a buzz. But wasn't long till he got up and had some before breakfast. Had to have it before lunch. Had to have it before he went to bed. He began to fool around the girl, no doubt. And he got in trouble there. All kinds of trouble began to plague his life. Sinner, don't ever forget. Backslider, listen to me. Do not ever forget that the wages of sin is still death. It always will be death. It always has been death. But you see, the devil is fishing with bait. He comes along and he whispers in your ear and he tells you it's greener grass on the other side of the fence. Everything is better out there in the world, the devil says. But you just rebel on and rebel against your parents, rebel against God, rebel against religion, rebel against the church of God. Go out there on your own and think you're going to have it better, but you're not. The devil doesn't tell you. He gets a hook in you. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to get a hook on you. The devil gets hooks in people. Man, I work with them from the mission. The devil got a hook in them. They can't get loose from it, seems like. Fools make a mockery of sin. But the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can be sure about that, friend. You can be positive tonight that your sins will find you out. It's not that there's a possibility that it's going to catch. No, friend, your sins will find you out. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin. You see, it's a short time. You have a good time, it's short, but it disappears. It becomes empty. You become disillusioned. You become disenchanted. And when, verse number 14, and when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He didn't have no more money. He couldn't buy no more alcohol. He couldn't get high on drugs. No girl wanted to go with him now. Because he didn't have no money. He squandered his estate in foolish living. And he spent everything. He didn't have one penny left. The wealth had wasted away. And he didn't have one thing to show for it. He spent his entire inheritance. Didn't have one thing to show for it. And he, verse number 14, and he began to be in want. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you see, this boy had backslid, and the Lord wasn't his shepherd anymore. He forsook the good shepherd and went to a far country. And he began to be in want. His body was in want. Is your body tonight in want for bigger kicks, more high powerful drugs, trying to stay awake at night, thinking up things you can do to get high? Is your mind in want tonight? Is your soul in want? Is there something missing down deep inside? The Bible said this young fella, he began to be in want when his money was gone, when his friends was gone. The absence of God, which results from drifting, leaves spiritual emptiness that worldly pleasures cannot satisfy. Bible says in Jeremiah 2 and verse number 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The more we struggle, listen, the more we struggle to satisfy ourselves, the more we sink into degrading personal conditions. A life independent of God actually is a life, my friend, that's separated from God's love, from God's fellowship, and from God's authority. God is a lover, and he's a liberator. And surrendering to him brings freedom and not bondage. When I surrendered to Jesus Christ, it did not bring bondage in my life, it brought freedom in my life. Then something interesting happened. He became a slave. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. So he didn't have no money. He didn't have no place to live. He didn't have no food to eat. And 15 says, and he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He had to find some employment, but there was a depression that came and he couldn't get a job. And finally, the only job that he could get was feeding swine. So Jesus said, he went out and he began to feed the swine. And he became so hungry that he began to eat with the hogs. Amen. Wasn't too long, he looked like a hog. Wasn't too long, he smelled like a hog. Wasn't too long, he began to grunt like a hog down in the hog pen with the hogs. And then the boy, while he was down there, he had a fine home that he left. He had a father that loved him. He had everything he wanted back there. Now he's down, and not much stinks worse than an old hog. That's the stinkingest stuff. He's down there with the hogs. Shortly after he found himself with this demeaning job, feeding the swines, unclean animals, to the Jews, he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave it to him. Nobody gave him nothing. No one gave him any. He starved because he had fallen so low. He had become so insignificant. Where's those friends? He bought them drugs. He bought them alcohol. He paid for the party. Where are they at now? In verse 17, something wonderful, wonderful happened. I would to God it could happen to you tonight. Something happened. He came to himself. Oh, if you could just come to yourself. If you come to yourself tonight, you'd get saved. The reason people don't get saved is they don't come to themselves. He came to himself. Before this time, he was out of his mind. Sin has distorted his vision. Sin had clouded his mind. Sin is insanity. And he began to recognize what a desperate condition I'm in. I'm in a desperate condition. He could see clearly enough, I am worse off than the lowest paid servant at my father's house. And there was little or no way that his situation was ever going to improve. Without going back to his father and asking his father to forgive him and being accepted back in the family, the only alternative was to starve to death with the pigs. And he said, after he came to himself, how many hired servants my father had bread enough to spare. Here I am perishing with hunger. My father's servants is making it a whole lot better than I'm making it. I'm starving to death. So this young fella got to thinking one day. And that's good when you start thinking, sinner friend. The devil wants you to drown your thoughts with beer and alcohol. Drown your thoughts with drugs. Drown your thoughts with pleasure. Talked to a man today over in the cafeteria, and he is drawn. I said, what are you doing? Are you an artist? He said, no. He said, I'm doing this to get my mind off of things. Got to get my mind occupied. I got my mind occupied on the things of God. He began to reason with God. Would you reason with God tonight? Would you reason with me? The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, come down. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's reason together for a little while. He began to think. And while he was down in the hog pen, the Spirit of God came all the way down there. Began to talk to him. Begin to reason with him. He began to think about how it used to be at Father's house. He thought of himself. What am I doing here in these rags? In this filth? In this dirt? What am I doing here eating with the hogs? Maybe if I'd go home. Maybe Daddy could forgive me. He was a good man. He cried when I left. It broke his heart when I left home. Maybe he'll have mercy on me. Such a beautiful farm I left. And all the servants and all the cattle, I could be there. I'm not asking to go back and be accepted as a son. I just like to be a servant when I get there. That's all I want. Sinner friend, that's the attitude to have. And guess what he said in verse number 18? That's enough. I will arise and go to my father. Get up. I'm going. This young fella, he reflected then, and he made a resolution. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Sinner friend, I love you tonight. When are you going to wake up? He woke up. He's asleep. But he woke up. And he said in verse number 18, I will say to him, Father, I've sinned. He wasn't going to blame it on his brother. Wasn't blame it on nobody else. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a hard servant. Would you just give me a job? He arose and came to his father. He put his thoughts into action and went home. You know, I'm looking over at an audience. I know several of you. And you thought many times about getting saved. You've thought many times, I remember when I was saved. I remember I used to be able to lay down at night and go to sleep, knowing that all was well with my soul. I remember the peace I once had. I remember the joy I once had. I remember years ago when we had a service like this, I rejoiced in it too. I remember used to, there was a time in my life when the saints would rejoice, my hand was up too. I thought, oh, I had such an experience with God. Some of you, you've been thinking about it for a long time. But tonight is the night you need to put those thoughts into action. You've thought about this long enough. Let me tell you something. The devil don't care so much about you thinking about getting saved as long as you won't do it tonight. He don't ever come and say, hey, don't ever get saved. But he says, you want to get saved, but don't do it tonight. Because listen, would you look up here? The devil knows how to lead you step by step, past opportunity, till you turn down your last opportunity to get right with God. But I like this part. But when he was yet a great way off, he's still a long distance from home, his father saw him. That's bound to be my son. That's my son. He's an old man probably. You know, I can't run much anymore. But he ran. Amen. An old man ran. Started back home, and while he was a long ways off, his father was watching for him. The father, dropping any sense of dignity that belonged to him, being the head of the family, being the head of the state, even being full of love, concern, ran to meet his son. Notice, friend, this is a picture of God. Jesus here is telling us a story to illustrate a spiritual truth. Here's a picture of God. He's watching for you, sinner. God's looking down here tonight. He's been watching you. The song says, and even like the song book, when I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. He watched over you. He kept you. You could have been called out to eternity. You could have died many times in the state that you're in. Only the mercy of God, only the love of God, he spared your life. You didn't even know it. You didn't even realize it. But you so easily could have been taken out into eternity. But oh, the love of God, he's been watching you. His eye's been on you ever since you went astray. Amen. He's been looking at you every day. He's been waiting on you to come back home. He sees him coming down the road, the son filled with shame, filled with dirt, filth. But was his father apathetic towards his condition? Was his father indifferent to his condition? No. The Bible says he was watching, he was waiting for his son to return, hoping and praying he'd return. Father's reactions to the returning prodigal son, he was filled with compassion. God loves you. Sinner, he's filled with compassion. Bible says in the book of Romans, in 5th chapter, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know what the song of the saints and the angels is? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. I don't know how far away the highest star is, but says it goes beyond. The love of God goes beyond the highest star, and it reaches all the way down to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from their sin. Oh, love of God. Oh, love of God. It's rich. God's love is rich. Oh, love of God. How rich and pure. God's love is pure. How measureless. Can't measure the love of God. How strong. It shall forevermore endure. This is the saints and the angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure. Oh, measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race. Amen. The saints and the angel song. Could we with ink the ocean fill? All this is little islands surrounded by oceans everywhere. Go down to Mississippi, there's an ocean. Everywhere you go, go to the ocean. He said, could we with ink the ocean fill? Turn all the water in the ocean, turn it every bit in ink. In every stock a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. Every single man is a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Wouldn't be enough ink to write the love of God. Nor would the scroll. The scroll is from sky to sky. Here in Ohio and Mississippi and Honduras and the Cayman Islands and Africa and Oregon, everywhere you go, the sky fills to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's how much God loves you. Allow me to make this very personal tonight. Christ loves you personally. He loves you individually. He loves each and every one of us as if we were the only one. He died for you. If you was the only one, he would have paid this great price for you. Friend, when we saw him, he ran. We finally ran down the road. He threw his arms around his son. He said, Father, I've sinned. And he kissed him. He fell on his neck. That's a sign of restoration. In that part of the world then and to this day, for a man to kiss another man on the cheek is a mark of acceptance. And the son said to his father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight no more worthy to be called thy son. And he said, I've sinned against heaven. And you know what? That's the problem. You know what your problem is? You sinned against heaven. You sinned against God. A friend of mine went and held a revival some time back, and there was a lady in the congregation that said, I'd like for you to come see my husband, talk to him. Now, I'll tell you before you get there, he's bitter. He's against church. But maybe if you come talk to him, he'd listen to you. This brother, he's really a meek brother. He said he went and sat down in the living room. Sure enough, you can tell. You got to be careful what you say to this fellow because he's pretty hard. And he said, brother, I'd like to invite you out to church. He said, I'm just as good as those people over at the church. He said, well, this is just the first revival. I really don't know how mean them people are over at that church. Trying to make the fellow feel, you know, just because you think you're as good as somebody else. He said, I'll tell you what you're guilty of. He's telling him what all he did. He said, I'll tell you what you're guilty of. God's got you charged with murder. Because it was your sins that cost the death of the Son of God. Do you know every sinner is a murderer? He's guilty of killing the Son of God. That's your problem. Your problem with God. And if you ever get your problem with God straightened out, you won't have such a problem getting things straightened out with people. People got, well, this one did this, this one did that. But you get straightened out with God, and that won't be nearly so bad. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He ordered the servants to put the best robe upon his son. God dresses the sinners when they repent, when they believe the gospel. He dresses them up with the robe of righteousness. He said, put a ring on his hand. He ordered the servants to put a ring on his hand, which was a symbol of acceptance into the family. God treats people who return to him as sons, not servants. The ring stands for authority. For a man to give another man his signet ring, it was the same as giving him the power of authority. You know what we are tonight? Since we come home, since we're saved, we're sons of God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Verse 22, put shoes on his feet. He ordered the servants to put sandals on his feet. Only a free man would wear them. Sinners, my friend, can find freedom in Jesus Christ. The shoes stand for a son opposed to a slave, because the sons wore shoes, not the slaves. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then I like what he said. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Go get the fatted calf. He didn't say, now we got an old cow out here that's in the pasture and she's too old to have baby calves, so go kill that old cow and we'll make some hamburgers. That's not what he said. He didn't say, now we got an old bull back here that's not good for anything. We can't use him for breeding the cows anymore. So I tell you what, since he's not good for anything, go get that old bull and we'll kill him. And we'll fry up some hamburgers. No, but he said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's kill the fatted calf. There's a calf out there in the barn, and he's been in there for 6 months, and we gave him nothing but grain, and he's a fatted calf. I want you to go kill the fatted calf, and I want you to fix my son. I know what he liked. He liked porterhouse steak. I want you to give him the best steak and the beef. He likes it medium well. And I want you to go out there where we got the taters and get the biggest potato that you can find. And I want you to bake it for him. And I want you to get some of that butter that the servants made today. Some of that homemade butter. And when you bake that potato, I want you to put some of that homemade butter on that baked potato and put in some sour cream on there. And he likes corn cut off the cob. I want you to get some ears of corn and I want you just to slice it real close to the edge, and he likes it cream style. I want you to get the cream out of the cob, and I want you to fix it for him and put a little bacon grease in there, because that makes it real good. And when you put it on his plate, put a big hunk of that butter that we made today on top of the corn. And he likes old-fashioned cream pie the best of all. I want you to fix him one. I don't want a pie that's been back there in the cupboard. I want him to fix just for him. And what I want you to do, they just milked old Betsy this morning, and the cold milk is in there. I want you to get the cream, that fresh cream, off the top, and I want you to put it in his coffee and give him a cold glass of milk because he's hungry. He ain't had a good meal in a long time. Amen. Glory be to God. We've been eating porterhouse steak ever since Brother Foster had been up here preaching. You know what that was last night? Porterhouse steak. Amen. With a big baked potato and butter and sour cream. Amen. I tell you, friend, we're to delight ourselves, he said, in the fatness thereof. Kill the fatted calf. Amen. In other words, this fatted calf, let's regard this as a special occasion. Amen. This is a celebration. I tell you, friend, when a sinner comes home, it's a celebration. If they rejoice in heaven, we ought to rejoice down here. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the day I come home. He said, let's eat. Let's marry. Let's be merry. It's my son. He was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Amen. They begin to be merry. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Friend, if you knew the value of one soul, if you knew how it made heaven rejoice over you returning to the Father, you'd receive Jesus Christ. Are you a prodigal tonight? Are you lost without God? If you're here tonight, whether you're backslid, whether you've never been saved, God's been searching for you. He's been waiting on you. God loves you tonight. How he wants you to come back. He's not willing that you perish. He wants every individual that's here to come to repentance. There's only one way back tonight. It's through Jesus Christ. No other way to get back to God but to come through Jesus Christ. And if you're willing to come from here, if you're willing to come through Jesus tonight, God's arms are outstretched. I'll never forget, I was in a revival one time. I was burdened for a young fella, and I was preaching a message. I tell you, just as soon as we started the invitation, he got up out of his seat and he came down the altar. I mean, he is a crying. And he got down the altar. He wasn't there 30 seconds. And he got up, said, I'm saved. He said, God saved me on the way down the altar. Amen. He said, I knew I was supposed to bow here, but he said, I was meeting the condition all the way here. I was repenting my sin. He said, while I'd come down the altar, said, God saved me. Once come down the altar, God put all my sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Before I ever got here, he got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God's good. God loves you. You're great value to God. God does not want you to waste your life, friend. Please don't go on and waste your life in sin. Take the example from a man that's been there and done that. Don't waste your life in sin. You're of great value to God. I thought one time about President Abraham Lincoln. He was asked how he was going to treat the rebellious Southerners when they had finally been defeated and returned to the Union of the United States. The questionnaire expected that Lincoln would take a dire vengeance, but he answered, when they get back, I'm going to treat them as if they'd never been away. When they get back, I'm going to treat them like they'd never been gone. That's the way God feels about you. Say, I don't know. I sinned against God. I backslid. I lost out with God. I did some terrible things. How do you think God's going to treat me? When you repent, he's going to treat you like you've never been gone. That's how God cares about you tonight. I heard many years ago when I was pastoring in Tennessee, brother down there, pastor. He said there was a lady in his congregation. Had a teenage girl ran away from home. And his mother loved that little girl. She couldn't find her. She heard somebody saw her late one night down in a certain area. Now I tell you, this mother, she was burdened. She was really concerned. And so she went to her pastor and said, is there anything we can do? We're praying. I'm fasting. Is there anything else I can do? I want my daughter back home. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go get a picture made of yourself. And in this picture, I want you to have a look of invitation on your face. And I want you to have your arms stretched out. So I want you to do. So she did. She went and had a picture made of herself. They had it blew up in the posters. The pastor said, I want you to take every one of them posters. I want you to get you a red ink pen. At the bottom of every poster, I want you just to write, come home. And that's what she did. They made a bunch of them up. And they took those posters out and they put them in those areas where they said, somebody saw your daughter down here. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. One morning, that daughter looked up and there's her mom. And she looked, there's a handwriting. Mom said, come home. Broke her heart. She went home. Wee hours of the morning, Mom was there to welcome her home. Tonight, in my weak and unlearned ways, I've tried to put a picture before you. It's not of your mom, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. His arms are outstretched for you tonight. Down at the bottom of the picture, not with red ink, but red blood, he said, come home. Come home tonight. You thought about it long enough. Maybe to be like the prodigal son. Put those thoughts tonight into action. Come home. Thank you, Father. Lord, we did our best.